Hi, it's good to have your company. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. My name's Simon Smart.
And I'm Natasha Moore.
Now, Halloween is increasingly popular in Australia, despite the fact that in October here, it's not exactly heading into the darkness of winter, and it's certainly not pumpkin season. We don't come close to the $7 billion that Americans spend on this holiday each year. That's about $70 per American. But nonetheless, the shops are stocking witch hats and Halloween-themed lollies. More people are decorating their houses with spider webs and skeletons than ever before. And it's probably the case that you're likely to get trick-or-treated this Halloween.
Some people love the opportunity to get dressed up and to have an event that really brings the neighbourhood together, but not everybody is a fan. Some people complain that really it's an American tradition, even though it was actually brought to the US by Irish and Scottish immigrants. Others object on religious grounds. Is Halloween in some sense evil? Is it something that Christians in particular should refuse to take part in?
Well, John Dixon, who's a fellow director here at CPX, has been asked this question many times before. He thinks no. But John, welcome. And do you yourself celebrate Halloween?
Oh, we allow our kids to go out and do trick-or-treating and, you know, we welcome any kids that knock on our door, unless we're feeling too tired, in which case, we park the car around the corner and turn off the lights and watch TV.
You're not against the spirit of the thing.
No, I mean, like any good thing, it can be a bad thing. But many bad things can be redeemed as good things. It depends how you approach it. I don't think in principle Halloween is an evil thing.
John, why do you think it's becoming so popular in Australia?
Well, partly American culture. I mean, we're influenced by American culture massively. And I'm not as cynical as many people are about American culture. I love America. And like anything, it's got good and it's got bad. And there are some good parts of the Halloween tradition and some bad parts. The idea of the community coming together and seeing each other is a fantastic part of American culture. And then there are other parts of it, the commercialism. I mean, amazing, $7 billion spent on Halloween in America. So those sorts of things actually can make Halloween evil, far more than, dressing up in a pointy hat.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be in the US for Halloween for the first time this year. So it's going to be a bit crazy.
Pack your costume.
Do you celebrate Halloween?
No, I don't. But if people have a party, then yes, I will turn up. Yes.
Do you think it's a good thing, bad thing?
The world has shrunk, so we're just taking on other people's traditions, and it's very pagan tradition that, was kept on by America, and now, are we a small America? Who knows?
I'll probably go to a party, but, I guess that's in a way celebrating, but no, I think it's fine. It is what it is.
Tried not to celebrate it for years, but you get caught up in it and the kids go to school and you have to do it. But yeah, I just think, it's just an American thing we don't need. It's all about the lollies and that's all it's about. My kids go out and they come home with a pot of lollies that they could never hope to eat in a month of Sundays, and they kind of get shoved to the back of the cupboard until they're forgotten about and then in the bin. But yeah, it's a very reluctant celebration at our house.
What's the best thing about Halloween?
Getting treats.
People say that Halloween is a pagan festival, but it's also got quite a long Christian history as All Hallows' Eve. John, where does Halloween actually come from?
Well, it was a pagan festival, like a few Christian festivals. There were pagan parties before the Christians decided to make them Christian. I think there's a nice lesson in that. Originally, the 1st of November marked the end of the summer months. And it was believed that, this is in pre-Christian Celtic culture, it was believed that the spirits of the departed could return to your home on that day, but also some bad spirits could turn up as well. And the masks and disguises put on by villagers were designed to scare off the bad spirits. But of course, the family members would know their way home, and you could greet them on the 1st of November. So that's what it was. But as Christianity spread throughout Europe and throughout Celtic culture, it was decided that this probably wasn't the best reflection of the gospel of Christ. And so it was one of the popes in the early 7th century decided that we should transform this pagan celebration into a Christian one. And there was already a day in the church calendar dedicated to remembering the departed in Christ. And this is All Saints Day or All Hallows Day. It was sometime in May at the time in the 7th century. And the Pope thought, let's just move it to the 1st of November and, in a sense, co-opt a pagan festival into a Christian one, which, because many people were becoming Christian in this period, you know, it wasn't like this was imposed. People actually enjoyed the idea that they could still have this ancient tradition, but think of it in Christian terms. And so All Hallows Day, the 1st of November, was a day to mark the departed in Christ, to remember their example and to think about our own deaths and our own experience of God. And the evening before it also became a time for special prayer. So both All Hallows Day, All Saints Day, and All Hallows Eve, Halloween, became sacred days where there were special prayers where you'd think about the departed in Christ. So that's its origin, but it kept some of its pagan flavour, the dressing up in masks and those sorts of things. And in the 16th century, many Protestants banned it, you know, sort of almost 1,000 years after it was a Christian festival. Protestants banned it, and Protestants have been pretty good at banning parties for most of their career. But it's still on the church calendar of, say, traditional churches like the Anglican Church. All Hallows Day is still a sacred day, and the Eve you still mark as a day to think of the departed in Christ.
John, that sounds a lot like Christmas to me in the sense that it's a pagan festival that's been Christianized and then secularized and then very much commercialized.
Yeah, these things are weird, the way they go pagan, Christian, pagan, Christian, pagan, Christian. And it, I think, just underlines how you can approach these things either as from a pagan point of view or a Christian point of view. But you're right, yeah, Christmas, 25th of December, was the winter solstice. So the turning point from the shortest day of the year to the day the hours get longer, that was marked in ancient Greece and Rome with great celebrations and, you know, quite lavish, orgiastic celebrations at times. And, of course, as the empire became Christian, people thought this probably wasn't the best idea to worship the sun. You know, now the sun is coming back into our life, which is what the winter solstice, you know, marked. Instead of worshipping the sun and, you know, entering into licentiousness, the Christians decided, let's make it a Christian festival. So they just decided to make it Jesus' birthday. It wasn't that anyone thought Jesus was born on 25th of December, and nor were they trying to trick anyone. They just said, well, instead of cancelling the party, let's claim it for the true Lord of the world. The Lord of the world is not the Son, S-U-N. True Lord of the world is the Son of God. And so we'll mark his birth on the 25th of December. And they kept some of the traditions, gift giving and all that sort of thing. And so, yeah, Christmas is definitely, in origin, a pagan festival that was thoroughly Christianized. And in the course of history, it was paganized again, particularly by the commercialism with which we approach both Halloween and Christmas. And frankly, I think the commercialism has the potential for far more evil than any, you know, pointy hat you might wear at Halloween or any pagan relic in Christmas Day.
Yeah, although some people might feel like it's making light of evil to be going around dressed as ghouls and devils and that type of thing, and they have concerns about that. Do you have no concern
in that area? I have concern in the sense that we don't allow our kids to dress up as evil characters. So we'll let them dress up as, you know, in Spider-Man outfits or whatever, or characters out of Harry Potter. But the idea of dressing up as, you know, like a devil or a demon or whatever, there's just no way. And for precisely that reason, not because I think there's any power in these things, but I think there is power in these things when you trivialize them. And I don't want our kids to think that devils and demons are, you know, just trivial jokes. That's, you know, frankly, I think it's the devil's greatest ploy in the West is to make people think he's just a joke, so he can get on tempting us to all the things that that aren't jokes. But the fact that my kids will be mixing with other kids who are engaged in that doesn't trouble me at all. You know, I want my kids to be part of the culture, part of the world, but being different in that context.
But some Christians do have concerns about these things to the point of deciding not to participate. Do you think that there are better ways to respond to cultural practices like this?
Well, there are definitely Christians who even boycott these things. They're the same Christians who boycott Harry Potter books and movies. They're not the majority, actually. I really feel the majority of the Christian population's just maybe a little bit annoyed at the Americana of certainly amongst my friends, my Christian friends. They're more upset about American imperialist cultural imperialism than they are about the devil in Halloween. And I get that. But personally, I just think engaging with your culture and reclaiming all that you can in the culture for the Christian faith is a beautiful and ancient practice, because fundamental to my belief is that everything in the world is God's anyway. So, you know, there is God in it, in just about everything, that every cultural artifact, you can find some reflection of God in it. And in this case, there's a strong Christian component to Halloween that has been excised, sure, but I think it can be recovered really easily. As I say, you know, in the Anglican tradition, there is a celebration of this All Saints, All Hallows Eve, and even a prayer in the Book of Common Prayer to mark the occasion.
I think it's an import from America that we don't necessarily need to be following here in Australia.
And yeah, they don't even understand the tricks. They come to your door and you say trick or treat, and they look at you blankly when you say a trick.
We go for it to the pumpkin patch and pick out pumpkins, carve them, give out candy to the kids that come.
Costumes, kids go around, knock on the doors, get candy, all kinds of good stuff.
We have lots of kids come around our street. We are in a really nice neighbourhood and little kids come. If you leave your light on, it means that the kids can come to your area, whether if your light's off, they don't come. So it's really good.
Tell you the truth, in New Zealand though, it's bigger than what it is here. So we used to when we were younger with fireworks and crackers and that, yeah. I guess probably the history of it isn't very well known, but it still provides a day for having a bit of fun and maybe providing an opportunity for the children to be educated on what it was all standing for, yeah.
Well, John, I was thinking as you were talking about the community aspect of this and the way this happens in our neighbourhood. My wife tends to gather a bunch of kids from around the different families, and they go around and put notes in people's letterboxes and say, if you want to participate in this, they do some signal, I can't remember what it is now, but don't feel obliged. And, you know, almost everyone takes it up. And what's really interesting is there's a lot of old people who are in their homes, probably often quite lonely, who in this day get to see all the kids from the neighbourhood. They love it. They're bringing out the lollies and the kids are chatting to them for a while. And it does feel like a good way of kind of galvanising the street and the block and the community in a way that is a bit of a laugh for most people and seems to be, you know, mostly positive. So that's been our experience. It probably brings up the broader question, I guess, of how religious people live in a culture that's now pretty much secularized, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think Christians need to contemplate how to live in a world where we don't have cultural or political power, and often we're going to lose in our preferences in society. But that's an ancient Christian tradition, losing. The trick is to learn how to lose well. And that's an ancient Christian tradition as well. You think of the earliest Christians. They had no cultural power and they lost beautifully. But in their losing and their gracious going to their deaths or being imprisoned or just being mocked, but in the graciousness with which they responded to these things, they actually convinced people there was something to Christianity. So I think modern Christians could learn from that more generous, humble model and not pretend that we live in a Christian country and think that we have to impose our Christian preferences on others. I think, well, personally, I'm very comfortable living in a secular world where I don't have any rights or powers except the right or power to seek to persuade people of the beautiful things God has to offer.
Well, on that note, I guess if we can wish people a happy Halloween. It's great getting you in, John, to talk about that. Thanks for coming.
Thanks a lot.
We'll see you next time on Life and Faith.